chapter 2. Read the entire chapter. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it." In this chapter we see that father is instructing his son about, first of all, about putting forth an effort to attain wisdom. We see that in verses 1 through 5. He then informs him of the source of wisdom in verses 6 through 8. And then in verses 9 through 22, he instructs him concerning some of the benefits of wisdom. But first of all, here in verses 1 through 5, we have some rules for the attainment of wisdom, some things we must do if we are going to attain wisdom. And he lays down some conditions for attaining wisdom. First of all, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." So there has to be a receiving of the words of God. If we're ever going to obtain wisdom, then we have to accept what God's word says. We have to embrace what God's word says. There must be a spiritual reception of the word of God. No one can have this heavenly wisdom without this receiving of the word of God. Now, to receive the word of God, we have to have a heart that is humble. We have to have a heart that is tender, we have to have a heart that is contrite, and a heart that is obedient. The word "receive" there means that, again, that we're friendly to the Word of God, we're warm to the Word of God, we give the Word of God a courteous reception into our lives. This is the first step in attaining wisdom. We see that, secondly, he goes on in verse 1, he says, "And hide my commandments with thee." Not only must the word of God be received into the heart, it must be hidden in the heart as well. Now, to hide the commandments of God is to stow them away for future use. Psalm 119 in verse 11, we see, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We read concerning Mary that she kept certain things in her heart. Notice, if you keep a mark there and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Book of Luke, chapter 2. Notice verse 19. and then verse 51. In verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart concerning the shepherds. Verse 51, and went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So if we're going to have wisdom, you have to receive the word of God, and then you have to keep the word of God, hide the word of God in your heart. Thirdly, we see, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Now notice there in verse 2, it begins with the word so. So there's a connection. In other words, if we hide the commandments of God in our heart, if we keep them in our heart, we are then going to be inclined to hear more. And he says here, incline thine ear unto wisdom. And the word incline there simply means to bend your ear, to lean forward in order to hear. It shows an eagerness to hear the word of God. Shows an eagerness to hear the wisdom of God, an eagerness to hear the instruction of God. The problem today is many want wisdom, that is, they want some heavenly wisdom, but they listen to the foolishness of the world. And again, if we're going to have heavenly wisdom, we have to incline our ear unto the Lord. Not to incline our ear unto the world, not to incline our ear unto the advice of the world, but to incline our ear unto wisdom. The fourth thing in verse 2, and apply thine heart to understanding. And the word apply here conveys the idea of putting to use or employing the heart. And it speaks of effort. It speaks of diligent effort. In this case, we're to apply our heart to understanding. Now, we've seen so far that understanding is spiritual insight. So we are to make an effort to obtain understanding. We are to make an effort to obtain spiritual insight. And Solomon speaks of this throughout the book of Proverbs, that we're to put forth some effort to have spiritual insight. Again, a person who has wisdom also has understanding. A person who has wisdom has spiritual insight. That's what wisdom is, basically. It is the use of spiritual insight. But notice in Proverbs chapter 3, concerning this understanding, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You got to go get it. You've got to put forth an effort for this spiritual insight. Chapter 4 and verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to know. That is, give attention in order to know understanding. Pay attention. If you want spiritual insight, pay attention to spiritual things. The problem today is many pay more attention to the things of the world than they do spiritual things. And they pay more attention to worldly advice than they do spiritual advice. And they pay more attention to worldly authors than they do the Holy Spirit, who's inspired the Word of God. So if we want understanding, we have to give attention to know understanding. We have to give the attention for the purpose of knowing. Notice verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. And once you get in the understanding, once you get this spiritual insight, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Again, showing us where this insight comes from. It comes from the words of his mouth, the words of God. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, that is, with all the getting of wisdom, get understanding. Get spiritual insight. Chapter 5 and verse 1, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. And then he goes on, he speaks of the value of understanding. And this is why we ought to make effort to get this understanding. In Proverbs 16 And verse 16, he says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Understanding, spiritual insight, is more important than silver. Wisdom is more important than gold. You have to determine in your life, what is it that you're going to pursue? Are you going to pursue making a living in this world, or are you going to pursue wisdom and pursue spiritual insight? Again, spiritual insight will get you much further than silver. It'll get you much further than gold. It will be of more benefit to you than silver and gold. And he goes on throughout Proverbs and speaks of the benefits of understanding. In Proverbs 10, verse 23, it is sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. A man of understanding hath wisdom. Apply thy heart to understanding is what we see here in Proverbs 2 and verse 2, because a man that hath wisdom has understanding also. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Again, we're reading a lot of verses, but Proverbs 13, verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors, implying the word but there shows a contrast, the way of transgressors is hard. If you have understanding, you will not go in the way of transgressors. You won't spend time in the way of transgressors. So good understanding giveth favor. There's favor to life. There's benefit to your life to have spiritual insight. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. So we see there is a distinction here in Proverbs 1 and also in Proverbs 2. There is a distinction between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. But the book of Proverbs implies that the one who has wisdom also has understanding and also has knowledge. Understanding is, again, spiritual insight. Knowledge is certainty of the things of God. When you know something, you're certain of it. And to have a knowledge of God is to have a certainty of God. So we have wisdom, we have understanding, we have knowledge. In Proverbs 15, verse 21, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. A man of understanding walketh uprightly. Proverbs 16 and verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The instruction of fools is folly. So remember this when you're listening to instruction. Understanding is a wellspring of life, but the instruction of fools is folly. It's not going to do you any good. So we're to apply our heart to this understanding. If we go back to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3, again, we're talking about how to attain wisdom. It says, if thou criest after knowledge. Again, knowledge is certainty. Knowledge is comprehension. When you know something, you comprehend it. When you know something, you're certain of it. And so when we're talking about spiritual knowledge, we're talking about spiritual certainties. And we're talking about spiritual comprehension. You don't need the NIV to have spiritual comprehension. What you need is some wisdom. What you need is the direction of the Spirit of the Lord. And we see, if thou criest after knowledge, that of course speaks of an earnest desire. If you cry after something, it shows that you have desire for it. And we ought to desire. We ought to desire spiritual knowledge. And the reason we ought to desire spiritual knowledge, because it too, like understanding, is of great value. Notice in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Receive knowledge rather than choice gold. Knowledge, spiritual certainty, spiritual comprehension is of more value, will be of more benefit to you than all the gold in the world. So it seems to me that we ought to put forth more effort for knowledge than we ought to for gold. We ought to put forth more effort to understanding than we do toward silver, because it's of more value than silver. And he goes on in Proverbs 2 and verse 3, and he says, if thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, that speaks of fervency in prayer. Fervency in prayer, asking the Lord for understanding, for spiritual insight. And he goes on in verse 4 and says, if thou seekest her as silver. And the word, the pronoun her, of course, refers back to understanding. So if thou seekest understanding, as you would seek silver. And again, it speaks of an earnest seeking. It speaks of desire. It speaks of a realization of need. And then he closes in verse 4 by saying, and searchest for her has hid treasure, which is even a higher degree of seeking. You seek something, but searching for it is a higher degree of seeking, just like seeking is a higher degree than crying. So we see that there are steps in order to attain this wisdom. And we see here in verses 1 through 4, there are 8 verbs that give us these steps to attaining wisdom or understanding or knowledge. Again, if you have one, they all go together here. They're not the same thing, but they all do go together. So we see the steps. The steps are you receive my words. Receive the words of God. When an individual hears the words of God and gets angry and storms out, they're a fool. And they're going to do foolish things. If you want wisdom, you receive the word of God. Even when it hurts, you receive the word of God. That's the first step in attaining wisdom. You're never going to attain wisdom if you try to do it your way rather than receiving the words of God. Step number 2 is to, once you receive it, you hide the commandments of God. You keep the commandments of God in your heart. Number 3 is, and you do these first 2 things, so in order that you can incline your ear unto wisdom. That only makes sense. If you do not receive the word of God, if you do not receive the word of God, you cannot hide it. And if you do not receive it and hide it, you're not going to incline your ears toward it. So we see these 3 things work together. So that's the 3rd step, incline thine ear. The 4th step is apply thy heart. Put forth a effort of the heart to obtain these things. And then the 5th step is that you cry after knowledge, lifting up your voice, that you seek her as silver, that you search for her as hid treasures. So there are 8 verbs there, receive and hide in verse 1, incline and apply in verse 2, criest and liftest up in verse 3, seekest and searchest in verse 4. 8 verbs that describe the effort that we are to put forth in order to attain wisdom. And I believe as you look through these 8 verbs, each, as you progress further down through the verses, each is a higher degree of the proceeding. So the objects of these activities, notice, are God's words, verse 1, God's commandments, verse 1, wisdom, verse 2, understanding in verse 2, knowledge in verse 3. So these are the things that we are to put forth an effort to attain. And they will be of great benefit to us. And then we see in verse 5, there's a promise. concerning the conditions. Now you'll notice in verse 1, the third word is if. If implies a condition. In verse 3, the second word is if, implying a condition. Verse 4 begins with the word if. So we have three ifs implying conditions, and then we have in verse 5, then. If you do this, then. So now we see the result. Verse 5 gives us the result of meeting the conditions set forth in verses 1 through verse 4. So what is the result? If you do the things that are mentioned in verses 1 through 4, introduced by three ifs, then shalt thou understand or have spiritual insight the fear of the Lord. Thou shalt have spiritual insight into the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? It is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of wisdom. So if you do these things mentioned in verses 1 through 4, then, and not until then you will understand or you will have spiritual insight into the fear of the Lord. And then notice what else it says. And find the knowledge of God. The knowledge, again, is certainty. Then thou shalt find certainty. A lot of God's people today do not have certainty. You ask them what they believe, and they're really not quite sure, because they don't have any knowledge and they don't have any wisdom. But there will be a knowledge of God. If you do these things, there will be a knowledge of God. There will be a certainty of God. Certainty is assurance. Assurance gives us courage. Assurance in goes along with faith as well. But again, the word knowledge also implies comprehension. There will be a comprehension of God. Now, none of us, of course, can fully comprehend God, because God is eternal and God is infinite. But there is such a thing as comprehension of God. And I believe that our comprehension of God should grow. It should grow every day. Again, I should be able to comprehend more of God every single day. And how do I get there? By following the eight steps laid out in verses 1 through 4. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and then shalt thou find the knowledge of God. And then in verses 6 through 8, we have the source of wisdom. Where do you find wisdom? Where do you find spiritual wisdom? Do you go to school and get a piece of paper and that makes you wise? Hardly. Do you just learn from the experiences of life and that makes you wise? That can give you some earthly wisdom, but it's not going to give you spiritual wisdom. That's not the source of spiritual wisdom, because a lot of people have experience, but they're no wiser by it. Age. Someone will say, well, so-and-so is such and such an age, that makes him wise. There is no magical age that gives you wisdom. It has nothing to do with age. Now, the truth is, the older we get, the wiser we should get. But it doesn't always work that way. So, verse 6 says, 4, which states a reason. And I believe it states the reason for what we found in verse 5. Now, verse 5 gives us the result of verses 1 through 4. And the reason the result is so is because of what is stated here in verses 6 through 8, particularly verse 6. For the Lord, the reason that you can understand the fear of the Lord, the reason that you can have the knowledge of God, is for the Lord giveth wisdom. Who does he give it to? those who meet the conditions. Verses 1 through 4. You can't just live any way you please, and God's just going to rain down upon you wisdom. You can't follow the dictates of the world and listen to all the advice and foolishness of the world, and then God just suddenly is going to rain down upon you wisdom. You have to meet the conditions. And the Lord giveth wisdom. How does He give wisdom? Out of His mouth. That's where our words come from. So out of His word. The Lord giveth wisdom in His words. This book, this is where we find wisdom. This is where we find the wisdom of God. Study it. Know it. Learn it. Meditate upon it. Because the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge. Out of His word comes that certainty of spiritual things. Out of His word comes comprehension of spiritual things. He gives wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge. And in addition to knowledge, understanding. Again, we see the three things linked together again. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. They are different, but they are all connected. And it is out of God's word that we get wisdom. It's out of God's word that we get knowledge. It's out of God's word that we get understanding. Then notice verse 7. He layeth up. That is, if you lay something up, you do that on purpose. You do it on purpose. And you do it with a purpose. He layeth up on purpose sound wisdom. He stores it up. Where is it stored up at? In His word. That's where it is. It's in His word. It's stored in His word. He layeth up sound. That sound wisdom, that is, that which is solid, that which is true, that which is substantial, that which will satisfy you. He lays up sound wisdom. For who? The righteous. Well, who are the righteous? Well, I believe the righteous are those who meet the conditions of verses 1 through 4. You meet those conditions. The Lord has already stored up for you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you meet those conditions, and the Lord giveth wisdom. And He gives knowledge, and He gives understanding. And He does so out of His word, because that's where He has it stored. And He goes on in verse 7. Not only does God lay up these things for those who meet the conditions, He also keeps or guards, or He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And again, the upright, those who walk uprightly are the same as the righteous, who are those who meet the conditions. He keepeth the paths. He guards the paths of judgment. Judgment is discernment. When you make a judgment, you distinguish between two or more things. So judgment is discernment. Discernment and wisdom go together also. The more wisdom you have, the more ability you have to discern spiritual and carnal things. There are a lot of people today, a lot of professing Christians who have no ability whatsoever to discern between spiritual and carnal, because they don't have wisdom. So He guards the paths. He not only keeps us, but He guards the paths of discernment. He guards these paths so that you and I can walk in them. And then it goes on and says, and He preserveth, or He maintains, the way of His saints. He not only keeps the paths, He maintains the way of His saints. Verse 9. Verse 9 is really the second result
of the conditions set forth in verses 1 through 4. The first result, is in verse 5. Now we have the second result, and the reason we know that is because of the opening word, then, implying that conditions have been met. Then shalt thou understand, thou shalt have spiritual insight. You meet the conditions, you will have spiritual insight into righteousness, that which is good. You'll have insight into that which is good, and judgment, which is discernment. You will have insight into discernment, and equity, which is fairness. You'll have insight into what is fair, what is right. And then he adds for emphasis, yea, every good path. You will have insight into every good path. This is what wisdom. This again states the benefits of wisdom. Which brings us to verse 10. In verses 10 through 22, we have listed some of the benefits of wisdom. Now, when we speak of wisdom, we're also including knowledge and understanding. Discernment, we're including all of those things. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. How does it enter into our heart? Well, we meet the conditions laid out in verses 1 through 4. The Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord gives it. That's how it enters into our heart. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When you have wisdom, knowledge is very pleasing. That is, now that you have wisdom, you want spiritual certainty. You want spiritual comprehension. But then verse 11 says, discretion, which is also carefulness. A person who has discretion is a person who has sense enough to be careful. Discretion shall preserve thee. The reason a lot of folks fall continually, they fall in the same ditch over and over and over again, is because they don't have any discretion. They keep going back to the same ditch. You can't fall in the same ditch if you don't keep going back to the same ditch. And if you keep going back to the same ditch, it shows a great lack of discretion on your part. And people say, I don't know why I have this problem. I just keep falling into the same things. I can tell you why. You don't have any discretion. You don't have wisdom. You don't have insight. You don't have knowledge. You need to get those things, and then your life will take on a different form. But people are trying to change their life without changing their heart, without having any spiritual insight about them whatsoever. So it says, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding, spiritual insight shall keep thee. And then he goes on. He mentions that this discretion and this understanding will deliver you from the way of the evil man, and in verse, beginning with verse 16, will deliver thee from the strange woman. In other words, these things will give protection in your life. Now notice verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. And then he goes on and he mentions seven characteristics of this evil man. It'd be good to know these characteristics. These are the characteristics of an evil individual. And wisdom and understanding and discretion and knowledge will keep you, will protect you from the evil man. Now he mentions again seven characteristics. Verse 12, he speaks forward things. You can identify the evil man by what he says. Listen to what he says. The evil man speaketh froward things. Now, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the froward. And the froward is simply one who is unwilling to comply with what is right. It is one who is perverse, one who is disobedient. So if he speaks froward things, he boasts in his rebellions. And he does not speak that which is right. In fact, he speaks that which is perverse and disobedient. And you can say, well, he doesn't know any better. That may be so. But it's worse than that. He's an evil man. And you would be wise to stay away from him. And wisdom will keep you from the evil man. He speaketh forward things. Secondly, he leaves, verse 13, he leaves the path of uprightness. Now, uprightness is honesty. It is integrity. And if you go through Proverbs, we don't have time tonight, but you go through Proverbs and you look at the path of uprightness. And the one who walks in the path of uprightness has a steady walk, is a man of understanding. So the one who leaves the paths of uprightness has an unsteady walk. In other words, he's inconsistent. And he lacks understanding. He lacks spiritual insight. Thirdly, he leaves the paths of righteousness or uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. He leaves the right path in order to walk in the path of darkness. He leaves the path of honesty and integrity in order to walk in darkness, which speaks of evil and speaks of ignorance. And that's where he lives. He lives in darkness. He lives in evil. He lives in ignorance. But then it goes on. He says he rejoices to do evil. That is, he takes pleasure in committing sin. It's fun. It's fun. The individual who finds sin to be fun is an evil individual. I don't care if it's your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, your mom or dad. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who it is. If they take pleasure in doing evil, they're evil. And this is how we identify these individuals. But notice what else it says. And delight in the frowardness of the wicked. They not only take pleasure in committing sin, they take pleasure in those who do commit sin. They like to be around them. They like to hang around with them. They like to be identified with them. They like to have fun with them. These are the characteristics of an evil man whose ways are crooked. That is, he is deviated. He's left the paths of uprightness and he has deviated from a straight line. And he now walks in that which is twisted and deformed. And there are a lot of individuals today, and many of them, sad to say, profess to know the Lord as Savior, whose thoughts are twisted and deformed because they walk in evil ways. He goes on, he says, and they froward in their paths. That is, they are perverse and disobedient and unwilling to comply with that which is right. So wisdom will keep you from the evil man. It'll protect you from that. Verse 16, it'll not only keep you from the evil man, but it'll deliver thee from the strange woman. It'll deliver thee from the strange woman. Now, The strange woman has reference to an adulteress or a harlot. Solomon spoke of her often throughout the book of Proverbs. Chapter 5, almost the entire chapter, he deals with this strange woman. Chapter 6, verse 24, he mentions her. Chapter 7, again, almost the entire chapter, he deals with this strange woman. Proverbs 22, verse 14. Proverbs 23, verse 27. He deals with the strange woman. Wisdom in the heart will deliver you not only from the evil man, but will deliver you from the strange woman. It will restrain you from the evil man, and it will restrain you from the strange woman. And then he goes on, he mentions some things about her. She flatters with her tongue. Verse 16, she flattereth with her words. She leaves or forsakes the guidance of her youth. In verse 17. Now you can argue whether that's referring to her father or her husband in her youth. It doesn't really matter. She leaves the guidance of wisdom. She leaves the guidance of her youth. But not only that, she forgets the covenant of her God. In other words, she is false to her God. She is false to her God. And verse 18 and 19, her ways are fatal. It says, her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. They're destroyed. They're destroyed. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. But my point is, wisdom, knowledge, understanding will keep you from the evil man, will keep you from the strange woman. And then in verse 20, that which really goes back to verse 11. Verse 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. If you go in the path of evil men, you're not going in the path of good men. You can't do both at the same time. This discretion will keep you from the evil man. This discretion will keep you from the strange woman, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright, the righteous, shall dwell in the land. And the perfect, the mature, the one who has wisdom, shall remain in it. In other words, they're safe. They're secure. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. Not only cut off, but transgressors shall be rooted out of it, which speaks of a violent removing of evil, wicked men. So Proverbs chapter 2, we are reminded in this chapter that there is wisdom, that there is knowledge, that there is understanding, and there is discretion to be had. And the source of it is the Lord. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Because that's where wisdom is. And then you meet the conditions laid out there in verses 1 through 4. So in order to attain this wisdom, it's going to take some effort. But the effort will not be in vain, according to verse 5 and according to verse 9. And the reason it won't be in vain is because it's the Lord that gives wisdom. And he's already laid it up. Imagine that. God has already laid up wisdom for you and I. All we have to do is meet the conditions laid out. And we can have this wisdom. We can have this knowledge. And as the book of Proverbs very plainly reveals, this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding will prove to be very worthwhile. It'll be worth all the effort that it takes. With all thy getting, get understanding. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. These are things that we ought to seek every day of our life. And it's not like they're hid. God's told us where they are. They're in his mouth. They're in his word. This is where it's stored up. It's in his word. Now you can ignore the word of God in hearing. You can ignore reading the word of God and read all the periodicals and all the newspapers and all the magazines if that's what you want to do. But I'll tell you right now, if that's what you choose to do, you will not attain spiritual wisdom. You say, I've been saved 40 years. I don't care if you've been saved 80 years. If you ignore God's word, you will not attain spiritual wisdom. You've got to go to the word of God. And if there was ever a day when you and I needed wisdom, it's today. If there was ever a day when we needed knowledge, certainty. And there ought not to be anybody more certain. The world can call it arrogance, call it what you like. I call it certainty. No one should be more certain than God's people. God said such and such, and I know it's so. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. I know it's so. That's knowledge. And we need understanding. We need spiritual insight. We don't need so much insight into the way the world works. We need insight in the way God works. We need to understand that. How does God work? And I'm afraid there's an awful lot of God's people that have no idea how God works. So God help us that we might attain unto these things. Brother Jim, if you